This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel.
Hello.
And welcome to today's readings of selections from the December-January issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, our list of bests focuses on children and family listening. Then we have an In the Studio talking with two narrators about their earphones-winning recording of Baker's Magic and, of course, a review of that book. We have reviews in Children and Family Listening and an author interview with Grace Lynn, plus a review of her latest, When the Sea Turned to Silver, a wonderful fable for family listening. It's an earphones winner, read by Kim May Guest. Let's get right to it. Our best of the best titles for authors and narrators are In Children and Family Listening, 28 Days by Charles R. Smith, Jr., read by Dion Graham in a full cast, The Big Dark by Rodman Philbrick, read by Michael Crouch, Booked by Kwame Alexander, read by the author, Grayling's Song by Karen Cushman, read by Catherine Kellgren, Grimm's Fairy Tales, The Brothers Grimm, read by Jim Dale and others, The Hidden Oracle by Rick Riordan, read by Robbie Damond, Island Treasures, Alma for Ada, wrote the book. It's read by Trini Alvarado. Out of Abaddon, The Wooden Prince by Jean-Claude Bemis, read by Ralph Lister. Pax by Sarah Pennypacker, read by Michael Kern Dersano. Raimi Nightingale by Kate DiCamilla, read by Jenna Lamia. Save Me a Seat by Sarah Weeks and Geeta Varadarajan, read by Josh Hurley and Vikas Adam. Selected Poetry by Lewis Carroll, read by Roger May. Star Stuff by Stephanie Roth Sisson, read by Peter Burkrot. Thunderboy Jr., written and read by Sherman Alexie. And The Wild Robot by Peter Brown, read by Kate Atwater. On the Children and Family Listening page, we have pictures of Trini Alvarado and Robbie Damond, and there are QR codes, which when you scan it with your smartphone, we'll hear what they have to say about recording their award-winning books. Okay, now we turn our attentions to an In the Studio where an audiophile spoke with author Diane Zoller and narrator Tavia Gilbert about bringing Baker's Magic to audio. Pictured, I have Tavia Gilbert and Michael Crouch in the studio recording this book. Audiophile asked Diane Zoller, what was your favorite part about having Baker's Magic turned into an audiobook? The most unexpected. Diane, my favorite part was having Live Oak Media do the audio. The company is owned by the Cardillos, dear friends of mine, and I've always wanted to have them produce the audio for one of my books. They put out incredible, high-quality products, and I knew they'd do a fabulous job with Baker's Magic. And the most unexpected part was that they asked me to read the recipe at the end of the book. A real thrill for me, both to see how the whole process worked and to be a part of it all. Audiophile asked, did hearing the cast perform your words make you think differently about your book or characters? Diane Zoller. It definitely made me see the book differently. Somehow the director, Robin Miles, was able to find actors who sounded exactly the way the characters in the book sounded in my head. But actually hearing the words in those voices brought Baker's Magic to life in a new way. With all the different intonations and accents, there are characters from a variety of places in the book. The story seemed funnier, more real, and more dramatic than I ever had imagined it. Audiophile. Tavia, how was working on this full cast production different from recording single voice audiobooks? Tavia Gilbert. I do much of my recording at home in my studio, where I work solo, narrating, engineering, and self-directing. I also occasionally work in studios in Manhattan with a director and an engineer, and that's always a pleasure. But this project was something very special, even quite rare, a multicast production in which every character is brought to life by an actor. In addition to telling the story through the narrative voice, I performed Bee, who is such a wonderful character, resourceful, intrepid, full of power and potential greater than she can yet imagine. So not only was the story charming, thoughtful, and compelling, with a self-possessed, open-hearted, memorable young girl leading the way, but fantastic actors came into the studio to round out the cast, including Michael Crouch, Steven DeRosa, and Stina Nielsen, and we all created the work together. Audiophile. What was your favorite part about performing in Baker's Magic, Diane? My favorite part was learning how tremendously challenging the act of performing for an audiobook can be. Just to say the word hi correctly took me at least a dozen takes. Embarrassing, but true. Tavia Gilbert, it's a rare opportunity in audiobooks to physically work with other people. Voice acting for audiobooks is generally a pretty solitary art, so it was a total departure from my customary work life to get to perform in a context that is closer to a play. It's the kind of production that I myself love to listen to, and it was a joy to be cast by an audio publisher known for its exceptional quality, guided throughout by an actress and director as fine as Robin Miles, and to work in one of my favorite recording spaces, CDM, with engineers I love and trust. These opportunities are few and far between, so I feel fortunate. Audiophile. Anything else either of you would like to share? I'm overjoyed, says Diane, that Live Oak Media is producing Baker's Magic. Having seen and heard the amazing amount of talent and hard work that has gone into creating this audiobook, I'm really excited to see what the response will be. Tavia Gilbert, I can't wait to hear the final performance myself. I know it will be a delight, and I secretly hope it's not the last we've seen of B. And that in the studio. And now a review of Baker's Magic by Diane Zoller, read by Tavia Gilbert, Michael Crouch, and a full cast, and it's an Earphones winner. A full cast works together seamlessly in this charming, magical adventure as story's narrator Tavia Gilbert is crisply engaged and as spirited as young Bee, the baker's apprentice. Kenneth Cavett, with his rich and resonant voice, is a standout as the kindly baker Master Bouts, and Robin Miles is a hoot as pirate captain Zafira Zay. The care in the production is evident. The rest of the cast adds vocal personality to characters both large and small, and mood-appropriate snippets of music begin and end each chapter, helping to sweep listeners along. Scenes in the bakery are rendered with as much attention to detail as those on the high seas or in the mage's castle. Beware of listening while hungry, so says Jennifer M. Dowell of Baker's Magic, written by Diane Zoller, an Earphones winner, read by Tavia Gilbert, Michael Crouch, and a full cast. It's available from Live Oak Media, unabridged, ages 9 and up. Just so you remember, Audiophile presents earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria. Narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. And in the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews carry a QR code, which when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a QR code. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can still hear sound samples of most titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. Okay, we will start with our reviews now in Children and Family Listening, and our first review is Cody and the Mystery of the Universe, Cody, Book 2, by Tricia Springstubb. It's an Earphones winner, read by Natalie Ross. This is the second book in an appealing series, but those who missed the first one, Cody and the Fountain of Happiness, can still enjoy the adventure. Narrator Natalie Ross gives Cody an assured, eager voice as she looks forward to helping her best friend Spencer become acclimated after moving into the neighborhood. Realistically, Spencer's voice starts out meek as he worries about finding his way in a new school and making new friends, and then grows in confidence as he finds his own place and value in the neighborhood. Diverse characters with unique voices, smart dialogue, and realistic situations that kids handle with humor and fairness make this series a winner. Nancy E. McCarty wrote that review of Cody and the Mystery of the Universe, Cody, Book 2, by Tricia Springstubb, an Earphones winner read by Natalie Ross. It's available from Brilliance Audio Candlewick for 2 hours, unabridged. Next, we have Grayling's Song by Karen Cushman, an Earphones winner read by Katherine Kellgren. Talk about vocal variety, stamina, and drama. Katherine Kellgren's narration is full of them all and in spades. As listeners meet Grayling, she is returning from collecting herbs for her mother, a healing woman. With the shock of discovering her mother rooted to the ground, Grayling embarks on a journey to find her mother's grimoire spellbook and to free her and others who are similarly treed from the magic. Along the way, Grayling gathers a weather witch, a shape-shifting mouse, a glamorous enchantress, and a bumbling wizard, all made memorable by Kellgren's infusions of personality. From velvety whispers to ear-piercing yells, Kellgren is at her best. As narrator, she sets an atmospheric, mystical mood. In addition, Kellgren has created original music for each of Grayling's songs. Ann Ritchie wrote that review of Grayling's Song by Karen Cushman, an Earphones winner read by Katherine Kellgren. It's available from Recorded Books for 5 hours unabridged, ages 10 and up, and the magazine does carry a QR code. And this is a reminder that you are listening to the December-January issue of Audiophile Magazine, the magazine that helps you to discover the world of audiobooks. Our next review in Children and Family Listening is Ghost, Track, Book 1 by Jason Reynolds, read by Guy Lockhart. Narrator Guy Lockhart captures the emotions in this story. Middle schooler Castle, nicknamed Ghost, has been running for 3 years. It all began the night his father threatened him and his mother with a gun. But running takes on a different meaning when he's recruited for a team coached by a former Olympic recruiter. Lockhart maintains a good balance between the story's humor and Ghost's hidden, dark thoughts. Lockhart also creates convincing portrayals of the male mentors who care about Ghost, who wants to live up to their expectations and his own desire to be an athlete, even as these goals conflict with his self-protective tendencies to lie and fight. Listeners can look forward to more adventures, for this is the first in a series. Susie Wild wrote that review of Ghost, Trek, Book 1 by Jason Reynolds, read by Guy Lockhart. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 3.5 hours, unabridged, ages 10 and up. Next, we have Talking Leaves by Joseph Bruchek, written and read by Bruchek. As Joseph Bruchek announces the cast of characters, his authentic pronunciations evoke the mood of an elder storyteller and the rhythms of Native American oral traditions. Bruchek weaves Cherokee legends and historical facts from the 19th century into a tale based on the life of Sequoia, who brought the alphabet to the Cherokee. This makes for a dense story, but Bruchek has created an engaging main character, a son who seeks connection with his father. 13-year-old Uwahali has divided heart upon the return of his estranged father, Sequoia. Is it disloyal to want to know his father when his mother has divorced the man? Is his father practicing black magic or crazy, like the villagers say? Brucek reveals the father-son relationship realistically and sensitively. Susie Wild wrote that review of Talking Leaves by Joseph Brucek. Read by the author, it's available from Listening Library for 4.5 hours, unabridged, ages 10 and up. Next, we have The Best Man by Richard Peck, read by Michael Crouch. There are four men Archer McGill wants to be like when he grows up: his dad, his grandpa, his Uncle Paul, and his teacher, Mr. McLeod. Narrator Michael Crouch is a narrator with kid voices, is a natural with kid voices, and Archer sounds exactly like the sixth grader he is. Crouch differentiates clearly between the kid and adult characters as the plot veers from touching to zany and back again. Peck's middle grade novel feels old-fashioned and contemporary at the same time, and nostalgic in the best way. The road trip Archer takes with his dad is just one of the scenes that perfectly captures the heart-squeezy magic of finding a real moment of connection with someone you love. Listeners will relate, whether they're all grown up or still growing. Jennifer M. Dowell wrote that review of The Best Man by Richard Peck, read by Michael Crouch. It's available from Listening Library for 4.5 hours, unabridged, ages 10 and up. All right, we're going to leave our reviews for a little bit, and we're going to have an author interview with Grace Lynn. Grace Lynn is an avid audiobook fan, she says. I don't read physical books anymore. Her latest favorite is Sophie Hannah's The Orphan Chair. Lynn juggles parenting, writing, illustrating, and presenting. With audiobooks, she can listen and get something else accomplished. What's more, she says, on an airplane, I used to get kind of sick, but I can listen to a story and I'm fine. On a recent flight, Lynn listened to Kim May Guest's narration of her book, When the Sea Turned to Silver. Storytelling weaves in and out of the narrator and the narrative, and Lynn is pleased that Guest understands the storytelling tone. She changes voices just enough so that you know it's another character. A real storyteller wouldn't try to be a completely different person. She also appreciates that the narration sounds Asian without being overt. Listening aided Lynn as she wrote the book and imagined someone telling her story. And right before the final edits of each of her books, she reads it aloud. I lock myself in a room and read until my voice is hoarse. She also reads aloud as a parent. Her 4-year-old daughter is currently obsessed with Winnie the Pooh. Some people have fairy houses in their backyard. We have a piglet house, and she's going to be Roo on Halloween. Lynn didn't have the same experience growing up. Her parents were immigrants and didn't read aloud, but she says they were great believers in books. There were constant library trips, and they bought her a copy of Virginia Lee Burton's The Little House, which came with a floppy record. I listened to it so much it got warped. When I read the book aloud to my daughter, I imitate that distortion because I still have that warped record sound in my head. Even though she was a big reader as a child, Lynn saw few Asians in books. That didn't stop her from searching for them. Even though she and her only Asian friend in high school weren't into cheerleading, they read the cheerleader series. There was a minor Asian character who was a cheerleader. Everyone else's story was about dating the basketball team captain, but her storyline was about losing her violin sheet music. She was a complete stereotype, but we kept reading because we were so happy to see an Asian character. These early negative experiences made a big impression on Lynn. They affected the rest of my life and made me glad to have the opportunity to do the books that I do now. It's kind of like rewriting your own history. When I was younger, there were lots of times books became my friends. I hope I create books that have become friends for kids. Judging from her awards and popularity with children, she has succeeded. Lynn has published picture books, early readers, and chapter books for beginning readers and older children. All of them have Asian protagonists. I usually have about 10 ideas in mind and wait to see which one comes to a boil. Grace Lynn has seen many changes in children's books, especially in terms of diversity, since she published her first book in 1999. I talked about diversity back then, but it was like talking into an empty cave. The people who cared were there, but we were just talking to each other. In the last 3 or 4 years, you can see a difference in the way people are thinking. It's kind of clunky and a little messy, but often things have to get messy before they get cleaned up. It makes me hopeful rather than discouraged. My books are always called Asian books, and I don't mind the label. I actually wear it proudly. But wouldn't it be great if someday there were so many multicultural books you wouldn't have to call them multicultural? They'd just be called books. Susie Wild conducted that interview talking with Grace Lynn, and here's a review of Earphones winner When the Sea Turned to Silver by Grace Lynn, read by Kim May Guest. Kim May Guest's precise, soft reading sets a mood in which magic and reality meet. Shai Pamay lives far up a mountain with Ama, her wise storytelling grandmother. Guest's gentle tone fits both Pimay's timidity and their quiet life. But Guest's voice grows harsh when the ruthless emperor and his soldiers burst in and capture Ama. Her release will only occur in exchange for the luminous stone that lights the night. So begins Pimay's brave mission with her neighbor Yi Shan. Her storytelling gift and bravery grow, measured by Guest's strengthening voice. Guest gracefully voices the author's elegant prose and weaves a wealth of bejeweled folk tales into 3 entwined stories: The Adventurer's Quest, The Imprisoned Ama, and The Suffering of Black Tortoise of Winter. A wonderful fable for family listening. That review by Susie Wild is of When the Sea Turned to Silver by Grace Lynn. It's an Earphones winner, read by Kim May Guest, and it's available from Hachette Audio for 7.5 hours, unabridged, ages 8 and up, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Return now to our reviews, and our next review in Children and Family Listening is A Boy Called Christmas by Matt Haig, and Earphones winner read by Stephen Fry. Narrator Stephen Fry delivers a heartwarming and spirited performance in this fresh production on the origins of Christmas rituals. Fry's dynamic narration brings out the humor as well as the heartache in young protagonist Nicholas, who sets off on an adventure to find his father and stumbles upon a mystical kingdom. Fry's hearty range of voices expresses not only Nicholas's quiet bravery, anguish, and joy during his journey, but also a myriad of animated human and non-human characters, including a humorous troll and a sweet elf. Fry's delightful storytelling weaves heartfelt emotion with the magic of elves and the power of goodness, making it easy to believe in Christmas. Maya Fleischman wrote that review of A Boy Called Christmas by Matt Haig. It's read by Stephen Fry, an Earphones winner, and it's from Listening Library for 4.5 hours unabridged, ages 8 and up. Next, we have One Half from the East. It's by Nadia Hashimi, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Ariana Delawari. Narrator Ariana Delawari's guileless tone embodies young, vulnerable Obeda, whose comfortable life in Kabul is turned upside down when her father loses a leg in a street bombing, forcing the family to move to a small village where his family can help with his recovery. Reading without an accent in a childlike pitch, yet giving authentic voice to Afghani names and phrases, Delawari makes Obeda's story accessible to any young listener. When Obeda is forced to become a Basha Pash, a girl dressed as a boy, in order to bring good luck to the family, she discovers the disadvantages given to boys and the dangers that life may hold for girls. Strong writing is paired with an appropriately youthful narration, offering cultural awareness and hope for the future. Sharon Grover wrote that review of One Half from the East by Nadia Hashimi, and Earphones Winner read by Ariana Delawari, available from Harper Audio for 6 hours unabridged, ages 8 and up, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Next, we have The Tale of Kitty in Boots by Beatrix Potter. It's an Earphones Winner read by Helen Mirren. This previously unpublished story by Beatrix Potter was released on the 150th anniversary of her birth, and it's well served by the wry, unhurried narration of Dame Helen Mirren. Mirren captures all of the subtle humor as Kitty embarks on her nocturnal hunting adventures. Mirren's rich, melodious voice embodies not only Sly Kitty, but also the various other characters, including a now grown-up and quite full of himself, Peter Rabbit, as well as the charming hedgehog washerwoman, Mrs. Tiggywinkle. Fans of Potter's work will be delighted to have this new mischievous kitty to enjoy, either as a standalone digital download or paired with the hardcover book, illustrated by Quentin Blake, which includes a CD of the recording. Sharon Grover wrote that review of The Tale of Kitty in Boots by Beatrix Potter. It's an Earphones Winner, read by Helen Mirren. Available from Listening Library for 18 minutes unabridged, ages 4 through 6, and the magazine does carry a QR code. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when our list of bests will focus on romance. I'll have Caitlin Augusta's column teased, plus reviews in romance, historical fiction, and horror, featuring Earphones Winner's Dark Carousel by Christine Feehan, Mischling by Affinity Kohner, and The Motion of Puppets by Keith Donahue. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.